I want to hear you and Jeremy go off on Grin and Bear it, because you guys have very different opinions about.
Well, the problem is, it's just like sort of, it's actually a cute book, but it's like a total scam. Like, what they just took like one page or picture or illustration from one book, like take the last like 30 books that they've published.
Yeah.
And they just randomly threw together like a page from The Pirate Adventure, and then on the very next page is the one from Super Bears, and the next page is a picture from Visit the Aquarium, and they just made a little rhyming story that tied together, so like there's no original content.
Yeah.
And there's just this cheesy little, like, these little rhymes about, like, sort of proverbs, I guess you would say.
But isn't that the point of those books, though? Like, they're effortless to produce, like, you know, like The World According to Pooh, and like all those like books you would, like, I assume that they're trying to get, create a book that they could position at like the cash register.
Yes.
Or like near the front of a bookstore, like little gift books. I assume that it's, you know, like probably not a vast artistic endeavor, but I have to imagine that Mike was like, let's get something like this out just to like sort of boost.
Yeah.
Or maybe the publisher was like, let's make a quick moneymaker that's cute. Because what I really liked about it was the cover.
Oh, that's why I thought it was going to be so good. The cover is awesome. I love the cover. And I liked the idea of it. I was like, the description before it came out, I was like, oh, I'm going to love this book. And then there's just nothing original in it.
Well, what were you hoping was going to be in it?
I don't know.
Like, were you think it was going to be like entirely new content, like,
yeah,
based on the philosophy of Mike Berenstain?
my expectations are too high.
We should write a Wisdom from Bear Country book. Like, each character gets their own page. Like, what does this character have to teach you?
Yes.
Like, Papa Bear has this to say, like, oh, you know, like, never cut down a tree that you're not willing to plant two more of. And like Mama Bear's is like, always have an apron ready. And then like sisters could be like, your best friend could also be your worst enemy. But then you could also have like Raffish Ralph says, like, don't kill a child, that's not a good idea. And then like you could like have like 150 different bear characters, like all the way down to the most obscure. Weasel McGreed says, what's the point of me, why do I exist?
See, that's what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But no, it goes back to that idea of like, he just has to produce so much.
And, oh, I
like,
know.
Everything is so disposable now.
Like, well, and it's like Mike has said to us repeatedly, which is, it doesn't matter what you think is going to be an interesting book. It matters what the publishers are going to put out. Like,
yeah.
He could write the War and Peace of Berenstain Bear books, and if they're not interested in publishing it, it just falls into, you know, nothingness.
Well, and there's probably only a few hundred people in the world who look at this book and say, oh my gosh, there's a picture from Visit the Beach, and there's a picture from
right.
Chores, and there's a picture from Around the World, and there's a picture from Lemonade Stand. Because everyone else would probably think it was just an original book, or even if they didn't recognize it, they wouldn't care.
Or, why, yeah, I mean,
why
it's
do I
obvious.
Care so much? Why do I care so much?
It's obvious going through it, like just looking at the pages, that they are from different eras of,
right, they don't even match.
Yeah, like the coloring is different, the style is different, which kind of is cool. Like, to me, like, it's neat to like see the different styles and the different eras like put together like that.
Okay, maybe I'm coming around on it. I'm looking through it again. Look at this, Jeremy. He's like, he's got to download Chrome.
Yep, Darren has to download Chrome in order to be on my show.
What, how does he not have Chrome? I don't know. Do I hear birds singing in the background?
Oh, by the way, I am recording outside today. I am on the back patio.
That is awesome.
It is a beautiful spring day. It's nice and cool out. It's cloudy, so the sun's out of my eyes. There's no mosquitoes buzzing around my head. It is the perfect day to record outdoors. So if you hear any ambient noise,
yep.
If you hear the birds, you hear a little wind blowing, that is entirely because that is exactly where I am. I am enjoying the day. Also, I promised I would be out of the house, and I couldn't get any place to record. So I was like, I'll just go outside.
I love that.
Well, hopefully Jeremy gets this.
I mean, well, what can you do in the meantime? You just learn to appreciate the simple things in life. like saying hello to butterflies.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Taking a nice nap.
That's a good thing to do.
Or making mud pies.
Aww. You should write a book about that.
I should. Or lose your inhibitions.
wait, what?
They're like tearing their clothes off. That's an awkward... I don't remember what book that's from. That must be like going like a bath time book or something. They're like running down the hall, stripping their clothes off.
Wait, which book was this from?
This is in Grin and Bear It. This is what I'm talking about. It doesn't make any sense.
This isn't in the proof for prayers and poems.
No.
Strip your clothes off.
Ooh, start fireworks. Maybe it's just time to party.
This is Brad is antagonizing Jeremy now over Facebook Messenger, mocking him for not already having Chrome installed on his laptop.
I don't understand. Like, what browser do you... Safari? Gross.
Who uses Safari? It's not compatible with anything.
I know.
Safari.
Speaking of Safari, from the Berenstain Bears' Grin and Bear It, Live on the Wild Side. That's a beautiful two-page spread.
If he was living on the wild side, though, he'd be using Internet Explorer.
Or if he still somehow had Netscape Navigator installed.
Right. This is going to be the longest intro for any episode I've ever done.
Maybe I should just set an alarm. I have this beautiful, brand new Berenstain Bears Treehouse Keywind Double Bell alarm clock.
Oh, yeah?
And I've had this for many, many years, but I just recently found one still in the box.
Wow.
So now I have... like my original one, but now I have one in the box.
Mint in box?
It has been opened. The box, it's not like the seal has not been broken, but it is the original box.
How rare is that?
Gosh, this might be the only one I've ever seen in the box. And the clock itself has gotten extremely rare. I haven't seen this offered for sale on eBay in years. It used to be, when I was in college, it was on there all the time.
And then what happened?
Oh, they just went away. Because it was still kind of new. It was like... this was produced in, like, the early 90s.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they were just still, like, out there.
This was at a time when, like, you probably still could have picked one up at, like, a clearance sale?
Yeah, or at a, what's one of those, like, what I call hoarder shops? One of those stores that I never go into that people go into to find deals.
Like a Savers?
Savers. Oh, gosh.
A hoarder shop? Did you just call it a hoarder shop?
Yes.
Shop at Savers. I have a pair of dress shoes. I bought at Savers.
What?
I have dishes from Savers. I've shopped at Savers.
Can I actually confess something?
What?
I've never actually gone into Savers.
You were just speaking like lies and half-truths. You have built up an opinion about something that you've never experienced. What would Mama Bear say about that?
What would Mama Bear say? Maybe I can find some advice in Grin and Bear It, Wisdom from Bear Country.
What does Grin and Bear It have to say about making presumptuous opinions about stores you've never shopped in?
Well, she says that our values may be challenged.
Oh, well, there you go. So Jeremy has told us to go ahead and start, and he'll jump in when he gets here.
Oh, that will be interesting. I guess we've never done a podcast like that before.
We can do it, though, because here we go. I'm going to do the intro.
Okay.
I'll introduce both of you, but I will say that Jeremy will arrive when he arrives.
He's going to show up fashionably late.
He will be here for 10 minutes, and then he'll have to run to work. Here we go.
Okay.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and do you hear the wind? Do you hear the birds? Probably can't hear the birds now because, wow, the wind just picked up. I'm outside, and I am outside for two reasons. One, I promised I wouldn't record in the house today, and I couldn't get into my office. And two, it's a special celebration episode, 150 episodes
Whoa.
Of Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. And do you hear a voice? Can you hear a voice of a guest who jumped in before I introduced him?
Oops.
I actually have two guests on the show today to help me ring in 150 episodes. You know them. You love them. You've heard them a million times. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the show my collector men, Brad Mariska, and sooner than later, hopefully, fingers crossed, Jeremy Gloff. Hello, Brad. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well.
And what is that? What is that I just heard?
Oh, you heard. I was gonna play a little song, maybe create some ambient background music using the My Play a Tune book, the Berenstain Bears Family Favorites Sing a Song Play Along. It's one of my favorite books. It's from 1990, and I'm so lost. You've done 150 episodes now. I don't know if we've ever talked about it.
I don't think we've ever talked about this. Now, for the listeners at home, Jeremy will be joining us as soon as he can. He's having an adventure right now.
As soon as he can,
he will pop on the show, and we will celebrate his entrance. But what is this magical book you're holding in your hands?
Well, this is actually one of the greatest Berenstain Bears books ever, and it's become very collectible and very rare. There was a series of books called My Play a Tune books that came out in the late 80s and into the early 90s. It's a heavy, hardbound book with one of those comb binding, you know, a plastic comb sort of binding. And then down at the bottom of the book, there's this little electronic, I guess, keyboard, you would say. I can play a scale. It's a major scale, 1 through 8.
Beautiful.
Okay. And so I open up the book, and each page, so there's a story on the left side.
All right.
And then on the right side, there's a familiar folk tune or children's song, and it has notes on a staff.
Okay.
With correlating numbers, so if you don't read pitches, you can just look. So the left side, there's this picture of Mama and the cubs and Papa in a rowboat, and it says, "Three bears in a boat. Mama Bear smiles. The stream goes on for miles and miles." And then you can play and sing, "Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream."
And then the rest of the song.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
If you had two more friends who each had this book, you could do Row, Row, Row Your Boat in a round.
In a round. Wow.
And sit in the park with your Berenstain Bear books and play Row, Row Your Boat over and over again in a round. You'd be the most popular people at that park, especially if you were men our age.
Yes.
Like, what are those guys doing over there? Oh, honey, just... let's just go to the other side of the park.
Yeah.
They're back with their Berenstain Bears books.
Yeah.
So this is like a fully functional keyboard?
Yeah. It's just, it would be like the white keys of a keyboard. So it's just, so all you can do are songs in major keys.
Which is fine.
And it's only one octave, but it's a really simple introduction to kind of playing the piano or making songs. And I think these were pretty popular books. They had a Disney version. They actually had a Nintendo one.
Whoa.
Would
the Nintendo version also just have folk songs?
No, the Nintendo one had like the original Super Mario theme and Zelda.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So what are these books called?
My Play a Tune book.
Oh, my goodness.
They were published by this company, JTG of Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. So
how common are they?
I don't know. I know the Berenstain Bears one is extremely rare. I think on my rarity guide.
Ooh. Whoa.
Whoa, what happened to the sound?
What's happening? Are we in space? What is happening? I feel like I'm in space.
Hey, it's me.
Oh. Help! Oh, do you have headphones?
Yeah.
Oh. Put them on. Quick! I feel like I'm in space. I'm in another dimension.
Hell! Hell!
What?
What are you doing? Why? Why?
Jeremy has arrived. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello?
Oh, it's gone.
Hello?
Are you there?
Jeremy?
Jeremy? Hello?
Uh-oh. He's still here. I can see his name. Guest. But where'd he go? Jeremy, where are you? He's messaging us.
Resend the link.
I'll resend him the link. This episode's an adventure. Is he here?
Oh, I don't know.
That was the craziest thing. This is the best. You thought this episode was just going to be us talking about the Berenstain Bears. It's not.
This is even better.
We thought we had very little to talk about in the last episode. Let's talk about the A. What do you think of the A book?
I think the A book is definitely inferior to the B book and the C book. That's definitely true. They tried to, well, first of all, you just can't beat the B book and Old Hat, New Hat and C is for
Clown. Can you guys
hear
me?
I can totally hear you.
Is the humming gone?
It's not nearly as bad as it was. Yeah. And I can totally deal with, erase this hum. This hum will be easy to fix.
I think it was, all right, cool. Sorry, you guys. I'm really sorry.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Mr. Jeremy Glaw.
Oh, late as usual.
Better late than never, is what I always say.
Oh, yeah. Fashionable.
Yeah.
Fashionable.
He walks in, so all heads turn.
So what are we talking about? Catch me up here.
We were just talking about
the Berenstain Bears Family Favorites My Play a Tune book, which was not the topic of this podcast at all.
Is that the one with the xylophone on it?
Yep.
Okay.
Have either of you ever incorporated the Play a Tune piano into any recorded pieces?
No.
Every song I've ever done has been written with that book.
Yeah. I only write songs in a major key in one octave.
I love it.
Is that book hard to find now?
Oh, it's super rare.
Really?
Oh, crazy.
Is that the one that I found one really cheap on Amazon for somebody once or something?
I think probably.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the Nintendo version. I have it pulled up here. The Ballad of Zelda.
Yep.
La Bamba? It has La Bamba.
Why would it have La Bamba?
I have no idea. It's a picture from Super Mario 2, and it plays La Bamba. So, I don't know.
Do you know La Bamba was written using that book? Back in the 50s?
Fake news.
Richie Valens hears like an old folk song, and he's sitting in his thing like, ding, 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 ding. All right. Gone too soon.
Yeah.
So, guys, this past year in Berenstain Bear, what is some stuff has happened.
Yes.
Some stuff has been published. Some stuff has not been published. What are you
some
guys?
Some stuff has kind of been published.
there were adventures. This past year we had an adventure. It's 150 episodes. Can you believe it?
I think it's awesome.
I can't even count that high.
Well, I know that. You're a public school teacher.
That's
Oh, burn.
Ooh, and I'm a band director, so I just need to count to four. So
right.
I just need to be able to get to four, and then I start
and
over.
The Bears counting book stops at 10, so that's all I've ever learned.
Yep. That's true.
That's all you need to know. So Jeremy, do you have as we're starting out, but we're actually 20 minutes into the episode. Right off the top of your head, any thoughts on, anything that's happened this year, any books that have come out that have stuck with you, anything you have picked up that you're particularly
well,
fond
you know
of
what?
This year?
This is a controversial statement to say in the Berenstain Bear collecting world, but I really liked the Grin and Bear It book.
Me too. I actually have been convinced in the past 20 minutes when you weren't here that I actually really like Grin and Bear It.
Listen,
now.
I've had a terrible year. A lot of bad things have happened. And the lowest point of my year, the Grin and Bear It book came in the mail. I was just sitting in my kitchen. I opened it and every page spoke to me. I'm like, I've never needed a book as bad as I need this book right now.
What is it about the book that helped lighten your spirits?
It's just kind of like cheesy one-line daily affirmations, I guess, but I don't know, they really hit the mark the time I saw them. I think there is a compilation of things from different books, but I don't know, I really loved it. The binding is a little bit thicker. Mm-hmm. It has like a squishy cover, doesn't it, Brad?
It's not squishy, but it's a nice heavy, well, it is just a tiny bit squishy.
Yeah.
Has a little give to it.
Yeah. But you're right, I like the fact that it's not just like, Sunshine and Roses. Like, I'm looking at a page right here. It says, of course, life can't always be a bed of roses. Sometimes our sandcastles may get knocked down.
Yes.
Sometimes we may run right off the road or want to give in. But don't be discouraged. This is the time to try a new path and see new places. Learn new skills, explore new interests, make new friends. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I really loved it.
See, and I think that there's a place. I definitely think there's a place in our lives for simple advice, like simple statements. Like sometimes, if they catch you at the wrong time, they're going to seem trite.
Right.
But if you really need someone to just say, "Hey, sometime life is extremely hard, but you know, like you can all, you know, like, keep going, keep going." Sometimes that's all really all you need. Like, is just that one. That one trite message.
Right, like a psalm or a proverb. Yeah, something really simple.
I'd say, didn't that little light-up treehouse come out in the last year? A lot of people didn't like it, but I thought it was cute.
Yeah, that was about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, but I agree. Everyone was bummed out just because it was small. Like, it's not about the fact that like it's not significant in size. I thought it was super cute.
And I was worried that I wasn't going to have a place to store it. You know what I mean? Because I have a lot of stuff.
Oh,
so right. When it was this little cute treehouse, I was like, "Oh, I know exactly where this can go."
Yeah.
So this was the Berenstain Bears light up treehouse, is what it's called.
It was unique. I've never seen anything like that in the realm of collecting.
Books. Very unique, and it came with this tiny little book. Like it's tiny.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks it.
It was like $10. It's not like people spent like $50 on it. So.
Right.
I don't know what people were expecting. For $10.
No, it's like something you can put on your desk or whatever and just like have a little reminder
Phil,
of the Berenstain Bears.
You have lots of little tchotchke like at your desk at work. You should get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really should. You know what? I totally
because
should.
Because if I remember correctly, even though you have lots of toys, you don't have any Berenstain Bear stuff.
That's true. I do have some of the Berenstain Bear collectible figures that a friend sent me, but I don't have them at work. I keep them at home. I really need to update my desk at work, which, as you guys have seen from photos, is a nightmare of pop
culture. It really is, yeah.
I'll have to pick up one of these little. They're super cute. Look at these
things.
I love it.
I think I love all the things that people in our group didn't like, but
So speaking of like just collecting in general, like the collectors in general, like what is the current sort of prevailing attitude or atmosphere of Berenstain Bear collectibles, like in the collectors in general? Like, what is the world like right now?
Do you want to know like what Jeremy and I are thinking and feeling this year, or do you want to know?
Sure. Yeah, let's start with that.
Well, I think. And Jeremy, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
We've talked about this a lot in the last 6 months or a year, is that like it's hard because we are such serious collectors and we're down to only just a very few very, very rare or obscure items. And so trying to stay excited about collecting is really hard when you're at this point or this stage in the game.
For sure.
Yeah. And because it's like, it's just sad when you go out there and you look for stuff and you know you're not going to find it or the odds of finding it are so low. It's more exciting in the early days when you're coming across stuff that you know you need or you don't expect and or that you discover. Like, we had so many great conversations over the years when we discovered something that we never knew previously existed, and that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, we found one new thing this year, and that's it.
You did?
But
is this the secret?
I mean, not really, but I hate to say it, then have people in our group try to find it, because Brad, I have it, but Brad doesn't. That workbook. I found, like, a workbook.
Are we allowed to talk about this?
Oh, let's. I give permission. I consent.
Okay. So tell us about this workbook.
It was by PBS, put out a series of like workbooks.
Okay.
And I was just on Amazon looking for something different, and it popped up, and I never saw it before. And I tried to get the seller to sell it cheaper, but I had to pay $100 for it.
Oh my goodness! So what is it called?
I don't even know. Navient Workbook or something.
Is it from like when is it from?
1990 or maybe 2000. See, I don't even know, like 90, 2000?
And someone just happened to have it?
Yeah, they had all the workbooks from that series, because they're...
Oh.
I think it's from, like, 2002, maybe, because it was to coincide with the when the new animated series came out on PBS.
Right.
Oh,
So they published this workbook that was sort of a tie-in to the rebooting of that series, and it must have been a very limited run or distributed, maybe not even commercially. I don't know. And then I was able to go online and find like a PDF version of it.
Oh.
But Jeremy has the only known like physical copy that I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
And it's pristine?
Yeah. I mean, there's like maybe a wrinkle in it, but I emailed the sellers. I'm like, books aren't usually $100. Like, and they knew they had something good. So I'm like, all right, bye.
But then you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, of course you got it. So you have, as far as you know, the only version of this thing that exists.
Right.
Oh my goodness, that's kind of exciting though.
And Brad had some only versions of things that we know exist too. Like, are there any other versions of that notebook we're looking for, Brad? That might be it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that, as far as I know, no one else in our amongst our collectors has that one. The theme book.
I feel like my view on the collectors, not everybody, but people in our group are kind of like, do all the work for me.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like, what's rare? What's available right now that I should buy? And I'm like,
send me the links.
The thing that's fun about it is finding it yourself. That's what collecting is about.
Because our collecting journey took us all the way to Rochester, looking through like boxes. You know what I mean? Like, and back in the day, Brad and I used to go on the Library of Congress website, and if I knew there was a series of books with the ISBN number, I would go number by number, trying to find the series.
Real detective
work. Just by changing one number at the end, and I did find some things that way.
But how is it that stuff like this PBS workbook like exists and you've just never heard of it?
I don't know.
Because it's never been cataloged?
Yeah, I don't know if it had a UPC. I don't think it did.
No, if it doesn't have an ISBN or a UPC, and that's the thing with some of these ephemeral items. I guess I would categorize this as sort of like the ephemera category. Is that like, you know, it wasn't released by a publisher in a bookstore. You know, PBS distributed it one way or another, and it only ended up in the hands of, you know, maybe a few thousand people. And again, it was a workbook, so it was consumable. And I think that's really important, is that all of the stuff that we like is still really rare, or the few items that maybe Jeremy has that I don't, or I have that he doesn't, they're always like a workbook or a coloring book or something along that lines.
It's buck wild that you guys can like be doing all this research and then something just accidentally crosses.
You know what? I remember how I found it, because I was on Amazon and I put in Berenstain notebook, hoping someone had that 80s notebook, maybe for sale from a third party seller. And then this PBS notebook popped up. I'm like, what is this?
When something goes on sale for $100, like how much time do you have to like put into like considering whether or not you're going to get it?
None.
Wow.
That's exactly right. That's zero. You just buy it and then you figure out later where that $100 is going to come from.
What's the danger of someone else buying that $100 Berenstain Bear notebook?
It's happened. We've lost out on stuff before.
Yeah. Wow. Now at this point, everything we lost out on, we have. Don't you, Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
I'm trying to think if there's anything I don't have that I lost out on.
But way back in the day, in the early days, I would definitely lose. Like, I remember the Berenstain Bears Olympics coloring book.
Mm-hmm.
Someone bid me up to, like, $150, and they beat me. So I'm like, well, have fun paying that much. And I found it for, like, $10 a couple months later.
So there are Berenstain Bear collectors out there who are not within any of your circles? Like, are there, like, rogue?
No. Here's what I think. Oh, do you want to know my perspective? Sorry.
No. I was just going to ask if there are, like, are there rogue collectors out there?
I don't think so.
I think
Brad's about to say is my opinion, so let's see if we're okay, on the same page. Yeah.
I think there's just crossover with other collectors of, like coloring book collectors.
Like golden book coloring books.
Golden book collectors, exactly. Yeah. Or video game collectors.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, they're not trying to get all the Berenstain Bear stuff. They're just trying to get all the PBS workbooks.
Right.
Correct.
Or maybe someone had that one specific coloring book when they were a kid, so they just wanted to get that one specific one.
Yes, that is a really good point, because you know how we all latch onto those certain items from our childhood.
Yeah.
And there's some people out there who just want that one Berenstain Bears book, and that might be, by coincidence, the one I don't have.
Ugh. Nostalgia junkies.
Ugh, it's just stuff, people. Who wants all this stuff?
Let go of your childhood.
All this stuff.
I want all of it.
I was going to say, Jeremy, do you have any other collections going on
now? Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Tons and tons.
What else are you collecting right now?
I mean, I have like 3,000 CDs.
Uh-huh.
I have all the Nancy Drew books. I collect so many, like probably that would take hours to list all the things I collect. But the Berenstain Bear is my pride and joy collection.
Right, right.
That's my...
How many, though, I know you're, I've seen how many owl-related items. How many owl things do you have?
Probably like 4,000.
Wow, really? I didn't know about the owls. I knew about the Nancy Drews.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even have room for another figurine. If someone buys me something, it's stressful, because I'm like, I don't know where to put it.
What if there was a Berenstain Bears owl figurine?
Then the universe would explode.
there's a gravitational disturbance located right over your house.
But I'd like to add, I think Brad and I crossed a bridge as collectors, because at this point we've actually gone through the Berenstain's basement boxes. So I mean, there's nowhere else deeper to look for things. I did find one of the books I needed there, but I mean, we've really tapped out everywhere where we could look.
Yeah, so let's talk. I released episodes of our trip, and we released a brief interview, like a conversation we had at the diner at the Strong Museum.
That was a great one. Yeah. That was a great episode.
Those were great shakes too.
Do
you remember those shakes?
Here's my question though: were the shakes that great, or were they great just because of where we were and what we were doing that day?
Both. Yep. Those were good shakes.
What a memory!
They were good shakes. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had a while. We've had about half a year, a little over half a year to reflect on it. That trip, those memories, like, still, like, I bring that up to people. Like, that's like my, like, ace in the hole when it comes to, like, I'm a person who does something related to Berenstain Bears. And people are like, oh, wow, that's cute. That's interesting. And I'm like, well, you know, I've been in Mike Berenstain's studio. And people are like, whoa, what? Like, oh, yes, this isn't just a fly-by-night operation.
Right.
I have shaken hands with Mike Berenstain. I have been welcomed into his house. I have met his assistant. I have been in his basement. Like, I have dug through. I have touched papers that his parents touched.
Yeah.
Like, it's
shout out to Eleanor.
Yes.
Hi, Eleanor.
Hi, Eleanor. If you're listening, we're thinking of you.
We do know that she listens sometimes.
Yeah.
But that was such an experience. Like, that's going to stay with me for many a year.
That whole year of my life, like, not to go on a personal tangent, but so many really good and really bad things happened. The whole year was surreal. So even that, just even right now, this moment's the first time I'm really thinking back on this trip and realizing how magical it was. You know what I mean? Like, everything about it, from getting picked up at the airport to when we left, like, every moment. You know, going to Funkin' Waffles in Syracuse with our friend Leah. Like, everything was just great.
Yeah, so for everyone listening out there, like, just wondering, like, these guys, like, they talk about Berenstain Bear books, but what happens if you got all three of them together? I'll tell you what happens if you got all three of us together. Good times happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was so fun. I wish it had been, you know, a couple days longer.
I know.
Me too. I could have spent so long in Mike's basement in those archives.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he showed us so much wonderful stuff. He showed us, like, proofs. He showed us work in progress. And they haven't stopped communicating with us.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the, quote-unquote, lost Berenstain Bears book. Let's just tell a little bit of the story, because it's an ongoing issue.
Yeah, we are not allowed to say too much, right?
right. We want to keep a little bit of this under our hats, just out of respect for Mike and stuff.
Right.
But, we got an email from Mike, basically, just saying that a book had been released, and then it had been withdrawn for various reasons, like just for, like, you know, just publishing reasons, legal reasons, but we were lucky enough to benefit from the kindness of Mike Berenstain. He sent us proofs of the book, just in case, because he wanted us to see it. He wanted us to see what was not going to be available in stores.
Right.
Right.
And the name of the book was The Berenstain Bears Little Book of Prayers and Poems. And what was so fascinating about it is it contained writing from Stan Berenstain.
I think it's a beautiful book.
Yeah. And so...
it's great. It's really great. It's
the quality
so great.
Of the books... I don't know if it was meeting Mike or if he's really on his game, but I feel like great books have been coming out of there.
So obviously there's a little, like, we don't know what the future of the book is, and we don't know if it's going to be coming out. But if you just want to, like, just sort of you guys just tell a little bit about what this mysterious book is.
Well, I think that the first thing that, like, you already alluded to is that what's special about this is that it's about half Mike's contributions and half his dad's contributions. And we all know that Stan loved to write, and I know at one time there was even announced for release a book called A Cub's yep. Garden of Verses. It was going to be a collection of poems by Stan about the Bears, or just from, like, you know, using bear illustrations, and it was never released. And now we haven't had a chance to ask Mike about this, but I know that he went into the archives and found these poems of Stan's and then added his own poems and prayers and put this beautiful book together. And I hope that they do officially release it still, because this is just a really cool volume, and there's some beautiful illustrations, and it's a really great variety too. It's like, it's little prayers, but it's also things about tadpoles and going on picnics and
it would have been a companion piece to the little book of prayers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, as Mike said, he has said to us that he would love to share the story about what happened with this, because I think the behind the scenes of children's publishing is some of the coolest stuff to hear about from him.
For sure.
Like, what happens in this mysterious world? Like, we tend to think of children's publishing as pretty cut and dry. Like, a book gets written, it gets published, it goes out on the shelves, and you buy it or you don't. But there's a lot of behind the scenes wheeling and dealing. He says that in a letter to me that it was it's a very unusual story. And that he thinks that we'll all appreciate, but he's going to hold off giving us the details on it because sure. there's legal stuff still being worked out. And so we will definitely come back to this book because we, or you guys, also have your own story about the Berenstain Bears Book of Prayers and Poems that we will be covering from a collector's standpoint. So once we get the full story, I think maybe we can maybe devote like an episode to this.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
I would love to, because like some of these poems just deserve to be read out loud. They're like they're beautiful.
Yeah, and as we've learned, I think, and Brad and I were talking a little bit about this at the top of the show, which is as good as something may be, as creative as something may be, there's no guarantee it will get published.
Sure. Now, what was the book that Mike had the two different covers for? Has that come out? Does anyone remember?
Oh yeah,
What was it called? Because it had the
storm.
It was storm, and it was a bike, and they were right.
What was it?
So it's not even on it's not on the release schedule yet, though, because I saw some new books come up on Amazon, and I didn't know if that was one of them.
Let me see. I can always go to BerensteinBearsCollectors.com.
Never heard of it. Never heard of that website.
No, BerensteinBears.com. That's Berenstain with an A.
Oh,
and then right at the top there's a link to new books for 2018, and I can look through the list. This has been curated by yours truly. Do you think it was the stand up to it, was it the bullying?
I feel like
one?
It, no, it wasn't.
That was the one that he was reincorporating the Joseph story.
That's right.
Oh, yeah,
he let us
right.
read it though.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, because it was like Scuzz or Smirk was getting picked on by the by Two Tall's
gang. That's right.
Why do good bears have bad days?
Okay, so that's not even on the radar yet.
I don't see that listed at all. Like, for the rest of the year.
No.
And Mike did show us his release tentative schedule through 2020, I feel like.
I was going to say, it went out 3 years, yeah, so that one might be scheduled for 2019 or even 2020, yeah. Here it is. Oh my gosh, it is on Amazon now. They must have just posted. It's coming out on January 1st, 2019.
Oh.
And they did what he, wait. Oh my gosh, this is fascinating. Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are hearing this live as it happens.
Okay, they did what he predicted. They went with the happier, brighter
They
cover.
Did. I'm just looking at it on Zonder Kids right now. Why do good? So for those of you who don't remember, Mike did two cover illustrations for this book. He did one where brother and sister were being caught in a thunderstorm, and he did one where brother and sister were
just had a flat tire on their bike.
Have flat tires on a country road with like bunny rabbits looking at them. And Mike said when we visited him that he predicted that the thunderstorm, even though it was what he considered the more interesting, the better cover, and it was a dynamic cover.
Yeah, it was a great cover.
He'd predicted that the publisher would reject it as being too scary for children, and that's why he did two different covers, and lo and behold, there it is.
This is awesome.
There's the more innocuous. We saw it happen in real time. I'm gonna if Mike, Eleanor, if you're listening, do something with that other cover. Like, make it appear somewhere, because that was an awesome illustration. A little darker than maybe the publisher was looking for, but I really enjoyed that illustration, and getting to see it. It just makes me wonder how much unused material is out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I put a call out on social media for them to repurpose, do something with all the illustrations from the chapter books, because those have some of my favorite Berenstain Bear drawings of all time.
Oh, yeah. I like the chapter books.
Oh, I love them. And I said, like, do, like, repurpose, put them together into, like, a collection of, like black and white illustrations or something, because make them available to buy just digitally, because there's so many. And they actually, I think Eleanor may have responded to that. She was like, that's actually a kind of a cool idea. Like, digging through the archives, repurpose those pictures, because there's not many reasons to show, like, the bear cubs being attacked by a homicidal robot, but there are pictures out there of the bear cubs being attacked by a robot.
Well, and you find a nice way to highlight some of those best ones by making them the cover photo on your Facebook page. So anybody out there who doesn't follow Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast on Facebook, you're missing out, because Phil does a great job of finding the most random, funny, but sometimes also, like, really fantastic illustrations.
Well, because they did some, like, big two-page spreads for those books. It's one of the last places you could see, like, the real, like, almost comic book quality, like, that Stan and Jan used to do in the books, where, like, your eye would just sort of follow the illustration around the page. So, yeah, like, there's some really good stuff there. And, I'm not always sure who the illustrator is, because I know Mike did some, but other times they had, like, freelancers working on them. But the attention to detail and they made sure that the quality stayed to their liking.
Well, and this is something that even, like, Mike talked about when we met him last year, is that how the illustration, your eye is supposed to be drawn from, like, the bottom left to the top right.
Yeah.
And, like, even though they're writing these sort of, like, comic illustrations in these chapter books, a lot of them still have that sort of principle. It's like there's a lot of artistic merit to them.
That's what I keep saying.
Yeah.
So anything else that came out this year? Any particular books? Any of the new publishing? How was Grizzly Land?
That's not out yet, is it?
It's not?
Grizzly Land is, didn't Grizzly Land come out?
I thought it comes out next Friday.
Oh, it's coming out. I have mentioned that to some friends, and they are excited that there is a Berenstain Bears takeoff on Disneyland coming
out. Well, it's the second one, you know. I mean, there's the original Go to Grizzly Land from 2002 or 2003.
From Fisher-Price.
Yeah, 2003, I think. It was a Power Touch book.
Yep.
So not available to your general, to the general public.
Well, it was, but most people didn't. It was a niche product.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that one a lot, though.
Have you ever actually used it? Have you ever used the Power Touch thing?
No, I didn't.
I haven't either. Mine's still in plastic.
Is Power Touch anything we've covered yet?
No.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
We should do a collector's episode and actually get our Power Touch tool out and actually, like, do it.
Okay. We are going to, ladies and gentlemen, please bear with us as we do a little behind-the-scenes planning. Get those Power Touch tools. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that implies, but I want anything called Power Touch that's related to Grizzly Land needs to be on this show.
And you know what would be funny is, I know we covered some things in the past, but an episode that talks about all the different tools to read some of these books. There are at least 3, 4, or 5, right?
Yeah.
They talk about, like, you know, like how, like, different media is published and comes out, and then we lose the ability to access that media because no computers can read zip drives, or no computers can read, you know, these reel-to-reels. There's, like, Berenstain Bear books that are lost technology now.
It's true.
What's the one you sent me, Brad? The magic reader?
Which one did I send you?
You bought me. So you surprised me and sent the one that talks like a robot.
Is that the one with the barcode?
Yeah.
Or is that? Yeah. We definitely did. We definitely did an episode.
Yes.
That was a good one. I don't even remember what that thing is called.
It reads the Olympics one, right? And on the job?
Magic wand.
Yeah, the magic wand.
That's right. It was all episode of the magic wand. Man, we've been doing this for a long time.
Oh, man. Wow. It's, like, been 3 years. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's just, we've covered so much. And so many of these episodes we've done have covered multiple items.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father's
and Jeremy was right. Grizzlyland comes out this week on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. We should do an episode where we compare the Power Touch book to the new Grizzlyland book.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, cool. So let's plan on that.
I would like us to get together more. It's been too long, gentlemen.
I know. It really has. We had Berenstain Bears long, long ago that came out in February. They put it on Easter Treasury again. We love our dad. We love our mom. There's been quite a few stuff. How was the Berenstain Bears and the Ducklings? Any ideas?
I don't remember. I don't know if I ever read it. I bought it.
There's only so much time in the year.
Sometimes I don't have 2 minutes to read.
I know. It's pathetic.
Terrible.
It's an I can read book. It looks like it's got some pretty nice drawings of ducks on the cover, though.
I know I read it, but it obviously didn't stick with me. And I'm looking for it right now. Because if it came out in the past year, I have it here. But if it's older, you know, I don't have it.
Well, the Berenstain Bears go to Farmer Ben's, and they help him feed the animals.
Oh, I did read it. I liked it.
Oh, yeah.
And
here we go.
And they meet the ducks.
Here we go, the ducklings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is cute.
Yeah, these are...
And any book that has Farmer Ben is my favorite character in the
like
whole
Farmer
series.
Ben.
He is the angriest bear in bear country, besides Gramps.
No.
Every one of the chapter books he's in have him a scene where he chases somebody with a gardening tool off of his land.
But he's not like that in the storybooks.
Well, none of them are like they are in the chapter books in the storybooks.
Well, I grew up with these storybooks, so
there's no like first step into reading book where Queenie McBear is leading Too Tall on by flirting with other guys.
Yeah.
As is her defining characteristic in the chapter books. None of the storybooks have Raffish Ralph getting thrown off a bridge, presumed dead.
All right. Tell me I'm wrong again. Jeez.
Again,
I hear it all day long at school. My students telling me what an idiot I am, and then I have to go on a podcast on a Saturday and be told it again. I'm supposed to be the expert here.
Oh my goodness, guys, this is such a great episode. I'm going to have to bring it to a close, though. We are running low on time, and I know that Jeremy has to get to work.
Yep.
Any closing thoughts on this year in bear country?
Well, it's despite the fact that like it's slowed down, it's still fun. And for me personally, I've turned my energies just towards finding better version. You know, some of the items I have in my collection are really old, or they're the originals I had as a kid, and they're kind of falling apart. So now my new challenge is like, oh, can I find that version of that book, but in mint condition?
Oh, I
and that's,
see.
And that's a fun challenge.
And for me, collecting, I think it's been a hard year for people personally, politically, whatever, not to get into anything like that. But I think more than ever, the Berenstain Bears are relevant as far as like escaping into that world and the simple human goodness that they write about in the books.
Yeah, I was talking in an episode about the fact that, you know, like at the end of the day, I think it was a couple episodes ago, at the end of the day, the message of the Berenstain Bears is empathy, is learning that everyone around you has feelings and everyone around you is just trying to get along and get through life.
Do the best they can.
Yeah. And whether you're looking at the storybooks or the chapter books, all of them, it's an entire franchise about just being a better person and empathizing with your friends and your family. And I think when times get tough, that's just a great message to turn back to.
Well, yeah, it's all about family. It's all about love. And those are universal truths that we all can focus on.
Yeah. 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 What a great end to the episode.
Yeah.
Well, Brad and Jeremy, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can our listeners find you guys not on this show?
Well, you can find me at BerensteinBearsCollectors.com.
And I'm at JeremyGloff.com.
Awesome. And you can find me at BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com. You can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can write to me at BerensteinBearcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and throw a dollar or two my way, I wouldn't turn it down. You can also find me on Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast at the Incomparable Network that I co-host with John McCoy. Or I co-host It's Del Toro Time, a Guillermo del Toro podcast with my teenager, Ollie. That comes out every other week. You can find that wherever you find podcasts. Guys, thank you once again for being on my little bear show.
Thanks for having me.
Happy 150th episode.
Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Thanks. And for everyone else out there, we will see you all next time deep
in
bear country. Hooray!